The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Hiya! Hiya! Hiya!
What?
What? What?
There is down to the bottom of the well, Canada, as power he has got.
The hottest spot north of Milwaukee at the club.
What is going on?
I don't think I could eat beef.
This son of a bitch.
Aaron Rodgers,
yeah, bitch.
The best part of football is football. And so you got to do football.
Football's football. The only way to get better at it is to play football.
It's Division One football!
Guys being dudes.
Go Tigers!
All right, nice to have you on. Club 1080 will be briefly interrupted here until we get bored of the Damian Lillard press conference.
Hot press conference. Nothing says
well,
Club 1080
come on. It's,
like press conference.
I know, but it's Dame's Lills.
Yes. Yeah, he's back.
He's back. We're waiting for him to take the... Okay, yeah, let's go to it.
Yeah,
this is the Blazers reintroducing Damian Lillard to Portland tonight.
Former Trailblazer texted me right after the news broke. He said, everything's right in the NBA again. And I just smiled and nodded, and it was like, yeah, I mean, it is. It never felt right seeing Damian in a different jersey. And, you know, we're really excited, of course, to bring him back to Portland and put him in that red and black. So, you know, we'll get into a few opening statements and answer any questions you have. But just really thankful to Dame for trusting in us, for believing in us, and for coming back. So, send it over to Chauncey.
Yeah, same thing for me, really. This is a happy day for all of us. Really, really excited to have Dame back. You know, it's been a process. I think if we're all being honest, we obviously never wanted to see him go. And even when he did, we all wanted to see him back. So it worked out perfect. I always just believe that things happen how they're supposed to. And unfortunately, he's hurt right now, and he'll be back as good as ever, you know, if you know anything about him. So we're really excited about that. I told him that this year he's going to be the highest paid assistant coach in league history because I'm going to be putting him to work every day. So we're really excited. We're really happy to have our guy back. Go ahead, Dollar.
For me personally, well, first I want to thank Joe, and I want to thank Chauncey because, you know, obviously for this to even be possible, we all had to be on the same page about it. But like they both said, it never felt right not being home. And, you know, through it all, I found my way back, and just fortunate to be back with the group that I was with prior to leaving, to be a part of a great situation at home. And I'm just excited, you know, and really, really thankful and appreciative of the door being open for me to come back, even with me being hurt. And, you know, it means a lot to me to not only play for this organization again, I never wanted to not be playing for this organization, but to be back in this community, you know, that I'm most familiar with, the familiar faces, all of the things that I've been connected to, even during the time that I wasn't playing here the last 2 years. So it all just feels right. You know, usually when I have to make a decision, I put a lot of thought into it. I ask a lot of questions to the people around me, but this was a decision that wasn't hard at all for me to make. And, you know, the people that I know love me and care about me, it was a easy piece of advice for them to give. It was easy for them to, you know, to support. So, like I said, I'm just thankful to be back. And it just feels like the perfect situation at the perfect time. So I'm just happy to be back.
Brenna Green, Coin6 Sports. Damian,
If I would have told you 2 years ago you would be sitting here right now doing this press conference, what would have your reaction been?
I probably would have been like, I don't know, you know, that's a little, in just 2 years, I probably wouldn't have believed it. I'd be lying if I said I didn't expect this to happen at some point, but for it to happen this soon, I wasn't expecting this.
For Dame and for Joe, Mike Richmond, can you talk about the process of kind of how this came together? When did you guys start talking about it? What did sort of the conversations look like and the meetings look like that led to this happening?
Once we learned Dame was leaving the Bucks, you know, it all happened pretty smooth and organically. Chauncey and I sat down with him a few times and had some really good conversations. You know, a lot of, you know, talking about goals and, you know, what the Trailblazers are trying to accomplish, what he's trying to accomplish, and seeing if those, you know, goals aligned. And I think we knew very early on that those goals were very similar, and the key thing there was just work out a deal and let's get this done. And it was really that smooth.
Lindsay Schnell, The Athletic. Dame, I'm curious, can you tell us how you told your kids that you were coming home and what their reaction is? I'm guessing Dame Jr. is old enough to like really get it. The twins might have been a little confused.
They're all old enough to pick up on it now, especially Dame Jr. But I didn't say nothing to them about it until Saturday when I actually signed, and they were with me, and we got back in the car to go home. And I got to a red light, and I just turned around, and my daughter was looking at me, and I told her, and she was like, "Wait, so like, we don't have to get on the airplane to Milwaukee no more?" I was like, "Yeah, like y'all don't gotta get on the plane no more." And she was like, "So you're gonna be at your house in Portland the whole time?" I was like, "Yeah," and she was like, "What?" Like she was, and then her brothers was kind of listening to that back and forth, and they, you know, they were all extremely excited. So. I saved it for when I knew it was official.
With the Oregonian. Dame, what expectation are you setting for yourself after this year of rehab? What kind of player do you expect to be in 2026?
I think it's obviously a tough injury, but me personally, I know how I'm going to approach the whole rehab process, taking my time. A lot of trust in the people around me, a lot of trust in the surgeon that I went to. We've stayed connected. And I think I'm a return to form. That's just my true belief. I think I'll return to form. I think with this injury, a lot of the people that I've spoke to that have experienced the injury and come back for it, a lot of the surgeons that I spoke to, a lot of the PTs that I've spoken to, have shared a lot of information with me. And a lot of it was encouraging for me. And I know what my assignment is to make that happen. And that's what I've been focused on doing. So it's a pretty slow process. That's why I'm taking the next season to make sure that I check every box and that I don't rush, especially at my age. But I expect to return to form.
I can Rose Garden Report. This would be for, I guess, both Joe and Dame. Is there any possibility at all that Dame plays this upcoming season, or is the understanding that this is just a rehab year?
We're going to do what's best for Dame. And, you know, never say never in this world, but all that matters is him coming back to form, and that'll take as long as it takes, and we won't go a second faster than that.
My prideful self would be thinking differently, but I think that with age you get wiser, and like Joe said, it's going to be, you know, ultimately what's best, and I think to take the as much time as possible to make sure that I'm right, that's what I'll do.
Dame Kerry Eggers, so assuming you don't play this next season, what will your role be? What will you do as far as the team on hands and that sort of thing? And then what role do you expect to play when you do get back?
I think not playing, just wanting to still have an impact on the team and still be present with the team. I think when you've been around the league for as long as I have, and you know, you've had as much experience as I've had on the floor every day in practice, just being in this league and having a significant role, it's a lot to share. It's a lot that you need time to learn in the NBA. A lot of things you just learn over your amount of time. And with this being a younger team, it's a lot of things that I can share, you know, without having to be on the floor. And I think that'll be my main job this year. Like Chauncey said, I'm basically going to be like an assistant coach. So I'll be around and, you know, my investment in the team will be the same as if I was playing as far as like my time and where my energy is placed. And, you know, I think once I'm playing, it'll be the same. One thing that I've missed over the last 2 years playing on an older team is I'm able to be more and give more when I have something to pour into, you know, when I'm able to be invested in others' careers more, being around younger players. So with this team, I have plenty of opportunity to do that, especially having a young rising point guard like Scoop that I'm gonna be, you know, playing with now, and Tumani and Denny and Shaden, who I was with his rookie year. So just being around those guys and having so much to share and being able to pour into them and be a part of, you know, their continued progress is something that elevates me as a player and as a teammate and as a leader. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that as well, even when I'm playing.
Dame, Danny Morang, 105.1 The Fan. In your previous tenure, you were a flag bearer not only for the team, but the city, the organization, all of it. Just kind of what are your thoughts on being that right now as the team's up for sale and Adam Silver's comments about the preference of staying in Portland, it's the pride and thoughts that you've had of being that guy and being that guy again?
The city of Portland and the Trailblazers as an organization is just important to me. It's never been something that I've had to try and go out and do, you know, and make myself something. It's just how I feel, and I go off of, you know, what my true feelings are. So it was always genuine for the first 11 years of my career, and it was also always organic. You know, I never had to go out of my way to do something or make something appear to be a certain way, and I think this will be the same. You know, I don't need to try to announce myself as that or anything. I just operate as myself, and that's always been good enough. And I think, especially at this stage of my career, you know, I think it'll remain the same.
Casey Holdall, Trailblazers.com. Dame and Chauncey. Dame, could you speak, you did this now, but could you speak a little more about kind of your thoughts on the team as currently constructed, particularly how it's maybe different from the team that you were on your last season here? And Chauncey, I know it's probably kind of early, but have you thought at all about how you're going to use Dame once he is able to get back out there?
Should I go first? Or you?
Why don't you go first, Dame?
I think one thing that when we all sat down and, you know, this idea kind of started to move towards me signing back here, obviously I'm going to look at the basketball situation. You know, we play basketball and you want to win basketball games. So a lot of people, you know, may look at it as a family decision, and obviously anybody would have their family be a part of a decision that they make, but this was just as much a basketball decision. I've watched the team even at a distance. You know, I've followed and stayed in touch with what was going on. And looking at how the league is transitioning and how it's changing, you know, it's not the same old thing no more. It's young teams that guard and that have depth and that compete, that are connected. And this team has all of those things. You know, maybe because it's Portland, people may not be willing to say it, but you know, it's all there, you know, from the talent to the depth to having it on both sides of the ball, it's all there. And that's something that I believed in when I looked into a decision like this. So the personal part, the family, the basketball, the fact that this opportunity came unexpected, you know, being waived, it just felt like it just felt like the perfect timing and the perfect opportunity.
What'd you ask me again, man? It's actually pretty neat. Oh yeah. That's a long way from now, you know. Obviously I'm more excited right now to have Dane back. And like he said, just pouring into our young guys. You know, I wanna see Scoop and Shaden take a step this year. You know, of course, you know, I coach these guys very hard, but it's always different when you're getting that mentorship and that tutelage from a guy that wears a jersey. And I have Dame, and I have Drew, and I have these guys pouring into him. I'm really, really excited about that. And then when we get to that point, we get there, you know. But I'm really excited about what we've been able to do this summer and what our team looks like right now. And when Dame is able to come back, we'll be super ready for him. But I'm really not even thinking about a year from now. You know, I'm thinking about this year.
Hey, Damien. Annie Peterson from AP. You know, you said it was also a basketball decision, but how much did being with your kids in the same city factor into your decision? How much did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. I mean, it's my kids. So it only made it that much sweeter. But to that same point, even when I wasn't here, I've created a situation where I could still be with my kids as often as possible. So, like I said, that was part of it. You know, it's well documented that I'm a family guy. And when you have kids, that's even more so the case, you know, once you have kids of your own. So obviously that's a part of that. You know, it makes it that much better. But the same is to be said about, you know, basketball and what I've always wanted to accomplish in a Trailblazer uniform, and now looking at the team and it, in my opinion, being positioned to do you know, what I've always wanted to have opportunity to do.
All right, that is live coverage of Damian Lillard being reintroduced to you, the sports fan in Portland.
The first ever question by 105.1 The Fan.
Yeah.
Danny Moraine.
Yeah, I like how he got that in there.
Yeah.
Although, I wonder if somebody hears that and goes, oh, and they tune into 105.1 The Fan and it's they Bella hear right Maroon in. 5.
Hey, this guy's got some jams. That Adam Levine is a talented son of a bitch.
Well, I don't have any takeaways. Do you have any takeaways from that?
I'm just sad that I didn't get to ask my question.
What would be your question?
Dame, talk to me about the Butterhogs. What are you going to miss about Milwaukee besides the Butterhogs?
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs. Can you imagine if you asked that? I mean, it sounded like there were a lot of people there.
There were.
Would he ask for clarity? Or how would he react if you asked that with a straight face?
I want to hope that he would chuckle, but I don't think.
Probably.
Well, I don't know. I think you'd get a lot of looks, and people wouldn't really know what you're talking about. There'd be one guy in
people
there that's like a P1. Yeah, exactly. And they would laugh, and they would love it. But then everybody else would be like, what the hell? And then they would just be like, get out of here.
Dame, as a single man and heading from Portland to Milwaukee, can you talk to us about the prevalence of the, I believe the term is Milwaukee butter.
He's going
to
go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs. God.
Renowned. It's what the city of Milwaukee is known for. Oh, also this one too. Dame, talk to me about the confidence level of the history of the Portland Trailblazers rehabbing lower leg injuries.
Jeez. That'd be right.
No buddy-buddy stuff.
Which is why we're not at the press conference and Danny is.
That's right.
No, Danny that's right. Is erect over that entire press conference.
Do you think he had to stand up in order to ask the question? No, so he had to hide his...
There's a trapper keeper that he's keeping on his lap at all times.
By the way,
he's having a moment.
Lindsey Schnell sighting in that thing.
Annie Peterson?
And Annie Peterson's still around. Like we were telling Brenna Green earlier today, we haven't been to a press conference in probably 15 years.
As you can tell why.
And yeah, Annie's awesome. She's really nice. She does the AP. She's been doing it for years. And I didn't think she was still doing it, but she's still doing there. It. And then Lindsey Schnell, she was the one who, I think you pissed her off at one point, didn't
I'm
you?
I'm sure I
didn't
did.
You get in a fight with her?
It's possible.
She's kind of a bitch, and she came at you.
I don't know. I've pissed a lot of people off.
There was a kerfuffle, I thought, with her, it's where possible. She was being a...
It's possible. Well, a lot of people didn't like. Remember for years when we'd go to press conferences, I would ask with AVN Adult Video News.
Oh, you would not.
Oh, 100%.
You did not. You never did that. AVN. You joked about that.
Oh, no. AVN was a real thing.
You never did that.
No one knew what AVN was.
I did.
I didn't say Adult Video News. I would say AVN.
You would not.
Oh, that happened.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed that coverage of Damian Lillard. He's awesome.
He is.
Good dude.
Now he's back. Now he's ours.
It was a little weird when they were talking about, oh, well, Cronin in his shake voice said they have similar goals.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, does he really think they're going to be good? Like, what are their goals?
I don't know.
What?
He's back.
I think he just wants to double. First of all, he lives here, so he's like, it's easier if I live here. My kids are here. And then second, I get another paycheck. That's good enough.
It's a very nice dream disconnected from reality.
Totally. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It really is.
If all that stuff happened, that'd be great.
Stop worrying about that. Just enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
I mean, they're asking, hey, Chance, how are you going to use Lillard? He's not going to play for a year.
Well, and Chance did say, we'll see you down the road. It's interesting. It's like what happens with Scoot. You know, Scoot and Shaden both have to, I mean, they're in contract situations.
It's actually pretty neat.
All right. Listen, we've got bigger fish to fry here, okay?
Yeah.
Theo is dead.
I know. I saw that.
We'll get to that story next on The Fan. Well, someone has passed away that you probably hadn't thought of or thought about for
35
years?
At least. It's been a while.
It has, but, you know, when he was on TV and we were watching him, he was just so darn likable.
Yeah.
We loved The Cosby Show. Back in the day, now quite problematic.
It is quite problematic.
But
it didn't have anything to do with this guy.
No, Malcolm Jabal Warner, who played Theo Huxtable.
Yes.
Theodore Huxtable.
Who was such a likable guy and then never really... I honestly don't know a single thing that he did after The Cosby Show.
Yeah, he didn't do much else. I mean, nothing major, but whenever you saw him, he just seemed like such a good dude.
Yeah.
He has died. Theo has died. No more Theo.
No.
He has passed away.
Costa Rica swimming accident.
Yeah. He got swept out by a sneaker wave in Costa Rica.
Is that what it was, the sneaker wave?
I guess so.
I just some onlookers were able to get him back to shore, but it was too late. And I guess there was a second person, unidentified, that was that's in critical condition, but I don't think he's... Or they have died yet. Yeah, he died of asphyxia after being caught by a high current in the ocean. Ugh. What a terrible way to go. Yeah, 54 years old in Costa Rica. And he was on vacation with his daughter, so let's hope that the second individual wasn't his daughter, you know?
He had roles in films like Drop Zone, Restaurant, and Fool's Gold.
I have not seen any of those.
He was on several TV shows, including Malcolm and Eddie, Reed, Between the Lines, Sons of Anarchy, American Horror Story, Key and Peele, Major Crimes, The Magic School Bus, and Suits.
He was in Sons of Anarchy?
Apparently.
I love Sons of Anarchy. I must have been a bit of a bit part, because I certainly don't remember him.
Was he with that Oakland gang?
Yeah, maybe.
He also appeared in nearly 100 episodes of The Resident as A.J. Austin. He won the Grammy for Best Traditional R&B Performance for the song Jesus Children.
What?
Alongside Layla Hathaway and Robert Glasper.
He won a what? Get right the hell out of town.
Best Traditional R&B Performance. Yeah, he won a Grammy.
Huh.
That was 10 years ago.
Well, I mean... Hey, do you have a Grammy? Because
I don't.
Kudos to him. So did he
what?
Did he have a better career than...
I think probably so.
Than we realize?
Net worth. Look up his net worth.
Right, maybe he just quietly pieced together... I don't know.
15 mil?
I don't know how much they got off of those. Because he was a child star.
How old was he when he was on The Cosby Show?
Oh, God. He was a little older. He wasn't like little, but I think he was on that show probably when he was like 10 to 18 would have been my guess. Somewhere in that. At least that's what he played. He may have been a little older. Looking up. They say between 6 and 14?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, good little.
You know, this is the thing about Hollywood. You know, a guy like that and then you know, he kind of falls off the radar and becomes a one-hit wonder, and people can kind of mock and poke. But quietly, that guy has probably had steady work, makes a good living, and better than a good living. Not many people are worth between 16 and 14 million bucks. And, you know, had a daughter and, you know, maybe just had a great life.
He's so married, too.
Yeah, maybe he never reached the heights that, you know, you did when you were little, but put food on the table and, you know, that's just the...
You know, he was a handsome fella.
He was a handsome fella.
Malcolm Jamal Warner. Dead at the age of 54.
Well, and it's scary. We talked about this, but when you go on vacation, and look, I don't know what happened, but you go on vacation, we've talked about this a million times, you do things and you take risks that you normally wouldn't take. Right? People that aren't strong swimmers go out into the ocean, or do you decide you're going to go surf or you go bungee jumping or paragliding, or we take a lot of risks when we're on vacation, because it's like, what can happen on vacation? Well, tragedy can happen on vacation.
Man, that show, The Cosby Show, What a cast, you know? Because you had Bill, but you also had Felicia Rashad.
Yep.
You had Malcolm Jamal Warner. You had, Lisa Bonet, She was on there.
Yep. Rudy was my favorite, the youngest daughter. She was adorable.
Was that? Oh, Nisha, Rudy.
She was Nisha.
Keisha Knight Pulliam.
Yes.
You had Raven Simone.
Yeah, who went on to do really big things like on the Disney Channel.
She had her own show, That's So Raven.
Yeah, she was brought in at the end of the, you know, they do that at the sitcoms. When all the kids grow up, they bring in like a cute cousin to give the... we need a little kid on there.
It's a lighthearted kid whimsy.
Yeah, and she blew up and did a big old thing.
Tempest Bledsoe was on there. She was Vanessa.
Oh, yeah. I do remember her. And that show...
That's
and
a name.
And then they had the spinoff, A Different World. Was a successful spinoff.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that? That was like when they went to college. It was a Cosby Show spinoff. And I think... Was 227 also a spinoff of The Cosby Show? I think there were a couple successful spinoffs. I know A Different World was a spinoff. I think that was Vanessa that went off to college.
Huh.
That
created
that,
by Bill Cosby.
Yeah, both or just the one?
Just The Different World.
Different World.
And Lisa Bonet was...
Mm-hmm. Was it Lisa Bonet? I thought it may have been the other one.
This says it was a spinoff that typically addressed issues that were avoided by The Cosby Show writers.
Oh.
Basically race,
sure.
Class relations, sexual assault.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was about an African, the HBCU, right? Historically Black Colleges and Universities. It was, I think it took place at a fictional HBCU.
Hillman College. Fictional historically Black college in Virginia.
Look at me knowing the...
Yeah, you probably read that today.
Look at him. I did not read that today.
Look at him.
At you giving me no credit.
Yeah, I don't like to give you credit.
For the Cosby Show spinoffs.
What was the other one?
Sons of Bitches. I was wondering if 227 may have been a spinoff as well. But I don't know. But I know A Different World definitely was. No, it does not appear.
I don't think so.
I think A Different World
I never even heard of that show.
No? With Jack A?
Jack A?
Yeah! She was on 227,
I remember
man.
Jack, eh?
Yeah. My mom loved 227.
Dude, nothing beats Good Times.
No.
Good Times was so good.
Well, there you go.
Better be. Wasn't better, Average Times.
I have a hot take. Good Times better than the Jeffersons.
Ooh, yep. I don't know.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. For young Isaac,
you're,
it was.
You're hitting that?
Yep.
Well, I can't.
Sure am, fella.
I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can chew on that. I don't know if I can get you with that. Dude, George Jefferson was my guy. Come on. The theme song alone.
Dynamite.
No, I love the Jeffersons.
Little Janet Jackson on that show?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
I do remember that. Janet was also on Different Strokes. She was Willis's girl on that.
Yes, she was.
You know, and we talk a lot about Michael and the changes. Take a look at Janet. Because
now?
Well, just over the years, because we know Michael.
You know, we have little cookies.
Michael had some problems, and Michael morphed from young, black, handsome Michael into an elderly Jewish woman with no nose. But yeah, take a look at Janet Jackson, because Janet Jackson, whatever Michael had, Janet had some of that too. Because look at Janet Jackson when she was on,
when she was on Different Strokes,
or any of those early shows, and then as it went on, Janet changed colors and faces multiple times as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, she was always pretty, though. You know, like, yes. She... But, yes, the pigment is an interesting...
Exactly.
I hadn't really noticed that.
Oh, yeah. But... And that's my point, is, like, dude, peak Janet Jackson is, like, one of the hottest things,
yeah,
like, ever.
She's gorgeous.
But we all make... I didn't make fun of, but, like, Michael got weird.
Well, he took it a little far.
So did Janet Jackson!
Well,
look,
give me the...
If it weren't for Michael, people would be much more in arms about Janet.
What the hell is going on here? How many noses and cheeks and lips and chins and... Like, yeah. I don't know what's happening there. Michael tried to turn himself into, like, an old Jewish woman. Janet Jackson tried to turn herself into, like, an Asian lady. Like, an old Asian lady. There's a lot of weird surgery going on there. And whatever bleaching Michael had, well, Janet was on the same thing. And she somehow doesn't get the same flack that Michael does.
No, she doesn't. Because she, you know, she's female.
Well.
You know. And we like her.
Well, we liked Michael. Well, I love Michael.
We liked Michael's music.
Yeah, I know. That's problematic. That might be my number one problematic.
Are you going to say why they just gushed about Michael Jackson the musical?
This is what I'm saying. Of all the things that I shouldn't like, but I do like that are problematic, Michael might be number one. He made Thriller.
They keep playing his music in grocery stores where families go all the time.
Because it's freaking amazing. I'm telling you, go see that MJ musical. It's banger after banger after banger, and that guy was amazing. And then you're like, ah.
Because well,
even if the kid stuff isn't true.
It is true.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yes, we do.
We don't.
Yes, we do.
We don't. It's all accusations.
What has gotten into you?
It's all accusations. Even
holy
if,
Michael Jackson defender.
No,
what is going on?
What are you, Aaron Fentress?
Even if that's not true, the other weirdness factor is enough to still give you the ick times a thousand.
Well, what if you walk into Fred Meyer and they're playing Bill Cosby bits?
I know.
It's like, ah.
I know.
But Thriller's on there. We're dancing.
That's how good Michael was.
No, I just think, well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cosby's stand-up was pretty good.
I know. I used to listen.
It was pretty good.
My dad used to have the Bill Cosby comedy albums on the records.
Yeah.
Dude.
They were good.
His comedy bits, Chicken Heart and Fat Albert and all that, like, all that stuff started as bits in his comedy. Bill Cosby was a great stand-up comedian.
He was.
And then, yeah,
and then the rapes.
Like, again, I can't watch the Cosby Show.
Who's worse, Cosby or Jackson? Jackson.
I'm not going to lie.
Underage kids?
I've been listening to Michael Jackson for like the last week straight after.
I saw Cosby made it into pop culture memes the other day. Somebody took and photoshopped that astronomer CEO and the HR gal.
Yeah.
And they just had Cosby in there with the HR girl asleep.
Wait, asleep? Oh.
Because that's what he would do to people on dates.
Did you see the follow-up, the Instagram, or, I don't know, the TikTok that was out there about, it's like a tutorial on ways to play off cheating when you're at a Coldplay concert?
It was a little bit what we were talking about as far as if they hadn't reacted that way, or if had they reacted differently, would the outcome have been different?
No,
and it had ways to do
that. He 100% should have just not acknowledged it, or just given her a peck on the cheek and it would have gone away.
Four ways the tutorial says that you can handle that. One, you should just start celebrating like nothing happened. That's the first way.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what I said. I said, true, you should just lean
like hands
into
in the
it.
Air, like, hey, we're on TV.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nobody's going to notice.
You know what? You put your hands in the air and you wave them around.
Like you don't care.
There you go.
You can play fight.
Oh,
like he does a bit where he's like fake choking her. It's like, ha ha ha. You can pretend that she's choking and you're giving her the Heimlich.
Ooh, I like that. Although that may look like you're doing something else from behind.
Or you can do the you crack my back, I'll crack your back.
Oh, yeah, bit, the lift.
You know?
Yeah, the key is you just play it off. That no one lingers on those sorts of things.
That's right. They probably wouldn't have even noticed.
Panic was too strong and took it.
And by the way,
I honestly think the peck on the cheek is the best way, because if you don't react and you don't kiss, it will linger as the crowd's like, oh. But if you just do a quick cheek peck, they will quickly move on to something else. But I've seen those where they linger because they want to see if you're going to notice that you're on the camera and will you indeed kiss.
Oh, yeah, right.
So
you got to get the camera out of there.
You got to get the camera off as quick as possible. And I think the peck on the cheek is the fastest way to just move on.
He makes the cameraman bored. I got to find the next person.
Did you see the guy, Andy Byron, resigned over the weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, he resigned.
Didn't take long.
Something tells me the company was like, hey, Andy, just here's some stock and you're the founder. Just shut up and move along. The new CEO. And by the way, that turns out that the statement from the cheater guy, that was not real. That was fake.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, remember he said, you know, he took a private moment. And yeah, it turns out that's
not, oh, really?
Yeah, it was
fooled was again.
Ball sacked.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Theo Huxtable. Here's Buck.
You guys having hot stick debates during the break.
Yeah. Not really debates.
Neither one of you likes the show, and yet you're both enthusiastic about the show.
No, I like the show. I said it wasn't good. It is not good. I like it. There's a lot of things that we like in the world that aren't particularly good. I mean, Britney Spears sold a lot of albums. She sucks.
God, have you seen her most recent video?
No.
She's off the deep end.
She's like smoking a cigarette, twirling in like an empty living room with boxes on the floor. Dude, it's a whole thing.
How many times can she go to the well on that bit? Like, that's her bit. Like
every
she
time.
Has
she's
no
not
other...
well.
Well, I know, but she did that like she shaved her head like 20 years ago, and we were like, oh my God, what's wrong with Britney? She goes to that well pretty much every couple years.
She just gets naked now and like spins around and like plays
with knives.
That's
her only way to stay relevant. We get it. She's crazy.
Yeah, that is true. It's it's a unique kind of crazy, though. You know, just rolling with it.
I'm reading about this, so I'm stuck on the Coldplay Kiss Cam bit.
Yeah.
I just love it so much.
Well, it dominated the landscape. It has become...
It's a huge...
I mean, every sports stadium...
At the very least, it's the meme of the summer.
Every sports stadium's doing it. Every concert's doing it. I've seen bars now posting signs out front. Don't worry, adulterers, there's no Kiss Cam in here. Like, everyone's in on the bit.
Yeah, so apparently TMZ has a video of someone shooting... It's amazing how TMZ comes up with this. Like, Buckley was talking about
it's
this.
It's security footage, basically.
Is that what it is?
Because it looks like it's a wide back shot from like the back high wall of the stadium.
It's from like the suite.
Because they're essentially on a balcony where
I feel like they're in a suite. Are they not?
I don't know. If you look at that video that we're talking about, it looks like there's a lot of open space behind them too. So it might have been like a very private, exclusive club level or something like that.
Well, anyway, TMZ somehow got a video, and it's a wide shot of just the stadium, and they're playing Yellow.
Yeah.
And... I'll be damned. You can see them in the photo or in the video kissing,
making out,
and TMZ somehow got that. I don't know how, but they did.
Well, here's the thing. I think TMZ just has a giant tip line. So if you were at that concert and you were filming, here's the thing. There is no more privacy. If you are in a public spot, you are being filmed. And so when that story becomes national news, someone out there scrolled through their phone and was like, "Oh my God, I have a photo of this." You call TMZ, and TMZ gives you $10,000 for it. TMZ pays for all of that stuff, and voila, you got it.
I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, they were caught red-handed on the camera.
But
anyway.
Now they're, if the husband's like, no, honey, I'm sorry, it was misconstrued, and then, sure enough.
Do that with everything? Like, I was stunned when, like, Draymond Green knocked out Jordan Poole cold. Like, that was a closed practice.
But again, everything is filmed, so.
Right. As long as you have someone who's willing to leak it.
Well, here's the thing. If you were just some schmuck at the Golden State facility, right, and your buddy sends you a video, is like, dude, check this out. Like, dude, Draymond Green just rocked the hell out of Jordan Poole. Now, you've got that video, and all of a sudden, it becomes a big deal, and you float that, and TMZ says $15,000. Are you not? Dude, you're sending it.
I'm saying 50.
Yeah. And then they're like 25, and you're like, cool. Okay. Yeah. Everything is on video, and everything is for sale now. So... This is why I always laugh when people talk about like privacy and like cookies and tracking. Everything is being tracked. Cookies. You are literally carrying around a device that is tracking you 24/7, and anything you do in public is caught on a bank security camera, your neighbor's Ring camera. Everything is being videoed, so just assume that it is.
No, I'm not gonna give you no cookie.
You have no expectation of privacy anywhere.
Give them hot milk. We have little cookies.
Gross.
Cookies.
I know.
By the way, the HR lady that was caught, she apparently is married to another CEO.
Not for long.
Did you know that?
Yeah, not for long.
Some guy.
He's a big rum guy.
Yeah, a rum company.
Yeah.
And also, apparently, their slogan has something to do with authenticity and transparency and truth, which is fun.
Privateer Rum.
Well, look, guys, shocking development. Rich people cheat. So do poor people. You just can't do it at concerts. Come on. Get a sleazy motel room like the rest of us, will
you? So do you think that the best play here is that Kristen and Andy get together and then start making a reality show?
At least start a podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Although he probably
about did. how they're rebounding in their lives. Well,
they'll be on Vanderpump Rules, or they'll be on one of those rich bitch housewives. You should put them on Love Island. My gal has started watching Love Island. That is the dumbest thing that I've ever seen, and yet it's like all anyone
talks
about.
Why is everyone talking about Love Island?
I don't know. Like, I'm telling you, for whatever reason, the BTJ is roped into it, and now whenever I come home, guess what's on the TV? Love Island.
It feels like March Madness for hookups, kind of.
Yeah.
Like there's all these people, and there can only be, like, maybe one winner, and they have, like, gambling odds online for it about who wins Love Island. I think it's all about stupid, so.
Oh, I call it Whore Island, but, like, people love it. It's just, it is what it is. Put them on that show.
Yeah, apparently her hubby's, so the CEO of the rum company,
yeah,
that's like one of the richest families on the East Coast.
Oh.
She married into that family.
Well,
and now she's screwed that
up. She's about to get divorced out of it. She better hope she grabs onto this tech bro, you know, guy that's
well,
got
a he's
bunch
out
of, money.
Of a job too.
Yeah, but he founded the company. He'll be fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of money floating around
in
these circles.
Yeah.
All right, we got to wrap it up. Coming up next on The Fan. All right, so tomorrow, 6 a.m., we're flipping, bitch.
That's right.
105.1. So.
And also still 1080.
And 910. The Fan.
Well, we're not on
Radio Network. No, we're not. But
910 is a sports station.
Yes.
Should you like that sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, actually, now if you go to 105.1 HD2, that's 910.
What's on 105.1 right now?
Someone said NSYNC was playing
Bye Bye Bye,
which is appropriate. Dude, there'll be some people really pissed tomorrow when they tune in to hear NSYNC or Katy Perry and they get sprayed.
If only there were somewhere else to find those acts.
There's not. You'll never hear them again. It's just dirt and Sprague for 4 big hours.
It's a great point. There's only one place to find Dirt and Sprague.
Yeah.
There are many places to find Katy Perry, and I think that's the whole point. I think we've come full circle.
Swag says they're now playing Blank Space by Taylor Swift, so maybe they are getting ready for the sign-off.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving a blank space for the Fan to move in.
Ha ha! Suck it, Bella!
Sorry, welcome, teenage girls.
Welcome to the fella. I think it's more for old ladies.
Oh, is it?
I think it's for the mids. I think it's for the middle-aged ladies. Ladies our age.
The moms.
Get your mom jeans on.
We flip to 105.1 The Fan tomorrow, 6 a.m. Make sure you tune in to see how it goes, because, you know, no guarantees. You know? We are an Odyssey station. We are back tomorrow, 3 to 7, on 105.1 The Fan. Good night.
Friendships of Space.